Not all of us can win the 100-meter dash, but all of us can run to the best of our ability. That's all a coach can expect. For every track star in the Olympics, there are 10,000 runners who will never make the team. But that's no reason to give up. Many believers with few talents approach life with a clenched fist rather than an open hand. Today we'll see why God prefers the latter. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on the joy of generosity, and today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a message from Matthew 25 on Christ, the Lord of our talents, with a look at how we need to open our hands and give back what's not ours to begin with.
And you see, when the Holy Spirit of God works deeply into people's hearts, it is said that there are two conversions. There is the conversion of the heart, and then there's the conversion of the pocketbook. And some people are only half converted, you know. We begin to recognize that all that we have is God's. All that you have is God's. Some of you businessmen are so gifted in your ability to organize and to manage. Please remember that Jesus watches you every single day to know whether that talent and ability is being invested for Him or whether you think it's something for which you have the right to say, "This is mine." Every day we're being monitored. Your talent is your trust. You have the ability to write letters to friends, to missionaries. You have the ability to encourage. You have the ability to usher. You have the ability to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. And I want you to know that God holds you accountable. It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Secondly, not only is your talent your trust, but secondly, your talent is your test. It's your test. Been studying the life of Joseph. When Joseph was thrown into the prison, the Bible says in the Psalms, the Lord tested him. Falsely accused, he had done right. Falsely accused of attempted rape. He resisted temptation, and that's what he gets for serving God. You know, I mean, that's what you get. Said no to Potiphar's wife, and of course God blessed him, right? No, he gets prison term for 2 years, and the text says that God tested him. But you know that that's true of all of us. Our talent is our test. What do I mean? Why do you think that you're on this earth? One of the reasons, one of the most important reasons, is so that God might know how and where to slot you in the coming kingdom. That's why. It's like a college entrance exam. Why do you take college entrance exams? Well, you don't know whether or not you're ready for advanced French or freshman French. You don't know whether you're ready for advanced mathematics. They don't know where to put you. And so they say, what we're going to do is to give you a test so that we'll know where you're slotted once school begins. And that's what God is doing. He's saying, Daryl, I'm giving you the privilege of either being a ruler over 10 cities or 5 cities, and the way you serve here on earth is going to determine where you're going to be slotted. And he's saying to you and to all of us that that's exactly what's happening in this world. Is in the world to come, are you going to rule over 10 cities, 5, or none at all? That's why your faithfulness or lack of it upon planet Earth is going to have, to some extent, repercussions throughout all of eternity. Throughout all of eternity. Because it'll depend on the responsibilities given to you in the kingdom. You say, well, everybody in heaven is going to be happy, surely. Oh, yeah, everybody in heaven is going to be happy. But there are some people who are going to be given more responsibilities. If you had a kingdom here on earth, you'd have some people who would serve the king more directly. They would be at the king's table. Then there would be others who would have other responsibilities. And in the very same way, in the coming kingdom, everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to be serving. Everybody's going to be plugged in somewhere. But where you're plugged in is determined by whether or not you're so faithful that you're in church on time, whether or not you prepare your Sunday school lesson, whether or not you give consistently or regularly or only whenever you feel like it. All of that, you see, is being put into the equation as to where you're going to fit into the kingdom. That's why this idea that somehow we can fritter our time away in the kingdom of the Lord and then in the end hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is nonsense. Your talent is your trust. Your talent is your trust. Thirdly, third lesson, whatever you don't use, you will lose. Whatever you don't use, you will lose. You may say, "Well, you know, I think that the king was unreasonable." Well, isn't that interesting that you would think that? Guess what? God's not asking you your opinion. Sometimes I give all kinds of opinions to God, even though he doesn't ask me my opinion. I give him mine anyway. It just feels good to know that at least I let him know what I think. But notice what the king does. He says, "Take the one away." You may say, "Well, you know, at least he presented his one talent to him that he was given." You know, there are some people who think, "Well, you know, as long as I have not sustained any losses when I see Jesus Christ, as long as I can still prove to him that I have essentially what I started out with, that'll be good enough." Oh, really? The king said, "Take what he's got and give it to somebody else." A person like that is unworthy. And by the way, you know, we say that we have unconditional worth. Notice that this person is spoken about as being an unworthy servant. Unworthy. In the worst sense of the word. I'm concerned, folks, about our lack of enthusiastic, exciting involvement in the ministries of Moody Church. Whether it has to do with the attendance and prayer meeting, whether it has to do with the attendance in Sunday school, the utter disdain with which we sometimes look at the work of God in comparison with the way in which we serve in other capacities. If you have a job down in the loop, you know that your boss would never say to you, "Well, you know, the poor thing is, you know, you've been on time 3 out of 5 times. I guess that's okay." He'd say, that would be intolerable. They don't work like that down in LaSalle Street. But this also is LaSalle Street. And it makes little difference, does it, sometimes, whether we're on time, whether we give consistently. Because, you see, the point is, we think to ourselves, we can do as we like. How about those of you who pay for a mortgage? And my wife and I do. It's that monthly experience of having to write out the mortgage. How many of you think that your mortgage company would say to you sometime, "You know, actually, you've paid 10 out of 12 times last year. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We'll accept that." And yet when it comes to giving to the church, we may not give regularly with any kind of regularity. We say, "Well, you know, I gave 3 out of 8 Sundays. That's pretty good." Why is it that we treat our daily work, which obviously should be done for God and our financial institutions, with so much more respect and honor and concern and faithfulness than we attend to the blessings and the ministry of the church, when we know that we're going to have to look into the eyes of Jesus and say, "I'll tell you, this is really what happened"? And we also know that he's not going to be too quick to accept excuses. "You lazy slave, throw him out." I gave him all that money, and all that he did is fritter it away, kept it. Sometimes we fritter it away, and this is all that he's got to show. I like to tell that story about some men who were walking through a desert, and they came to a well with a pump. And those of you who know anything about pumps, you know that pumps frequently have to be primed. And on the well, there was a can of water that said, "Use this can of water to prime the pump. If you do that, you will have enough water for yourself and for those who are traveling with you." And so you hear you have a group of people who are thirsting to death. They have the option. They could drink the water in the small pail, and that would be certain. You know, that's something sure. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Or they could take the risk of pouring it down into the pump and trusting that the note was right and that the pump would work and that there is water. That's what God does. He says, are you willing to take the risk of letting me become king and lord over your talents, over your money, over absolutely everything? And if you do, trust me to multiply it for you. And I'll even give you more. You see, most of us are saying, Lord, if you give me more, I promise to be faithful. God says, you be faithful and I'll give you more. That's the teaching of Scripture. To be able to say, I'm willing to give it all to you in faith that you will do well with me. One footnote. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, the biggest mistake that you could possibly make is to think that what I'm saying here today is that you must be very, very faithful in order to be saved. That's a big mistake. The Bible teaches that when Jesus died on the cross, he made a sacrifice for sin, and therefore that those who believe in him as Savior are saved. They receive the free gift of eternal life. They come helplessly to look to Jesus Christ. After you are saved, that's the time then to be faithful, to give an account to Jesus Christ. But if you're here and God is distant and you don't know how to be rightly related to God, it is not a matter of going out of here and saying, I'm going to be faithful. It's a matter of saying, I come as a sinner and I receive the free gift of eternal life. Whatever God has talked to you about today, would you respond to him?
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you are listening today. Because as I was expounding this parable, it is so important to realize that we do not get saved by our faithfulness. The slave that Jesus was speaking about, the one who was so unfaithful, who had this inferiority complex, the real issue in his life was not whether or not he invested his talent. The real issue was whether or not he had understood that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. But let me make this very clear. Once you have received Christ, faithfulness is incredibly important. Aren't you struck with the fact that the Bible says that this worthless slave was thrown out into outer darkness? He might not have even been a believer at all. Having been given gifts by God, he squandered them on himself and perhaps in that way proved that he wasn't really a member of God's family. On the other hand, some commentators believe that indeed he was a member of God's family and that the outer darkness was simply the darkness of judgment that some Christians pass through. Regardless, my friend, let's be saved and let's serve.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is in the midst of a series on the joy of generosity, a study in the stewardship of time, talents, resources, and affections. Today, he wrapped up his second message on Christ, the Lord of our talents. On tomorrow's Running to Win, don't miss a message on Christ, the Lord of our finances. This entire series on stewardship can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. For a look at you and your money, join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.